their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado. This is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker.
Hey everyone, I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And this is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing just fine. Good week.
Yeah, didn't catch coronavirus or anything like that?
Not so far.
Good.
No. Corona no. Line. Let me make sure I've got this right. I'm supposed to be going around rubbing my hands and...
Right.
And on every exposed item that I can find.
On any flat surface.
Not washing them, all those kinds of things.
Just wash your hands, folks. It's all good.
Yeah.
Okay. We mentioned last time that we were going to take a little trip out to southeastern corner of Colorado to look for snow geese and other wildlife. Yes. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Things don't always go as planned.
That's a preview.
And then we're going to talk about some other stuff. We're going to fill you in on more details on our upcoming Nikon Z workshop.
Yeah.
And then there was an update to Lightroom recently. In Lightroom Classic, we got to be clear on that. And so we're going to talk about something in there about they've changed the way you can make default settings, and we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah,
because it's a pretty cool change.
It's a very cool change, and there's a hidden feature there too that we'll talk about briefly, but we'll talk a whole lot more about in our workshop.
True.
Yeah.
Okay, so last weekend we decided that we would take a little road trip. So you and me and my dad piled into the car and got all our gear, and we went out to look for snow geese. Because the snow geese, which are these really cool white geese, they migrate from down in New Mexico, like Bosque del Apache. And then they come through eastern Colorado and stop at some of the lakes there on their way up to, I think they go all the way up to Canada or the Arctic or something like that. They're, you know, crazy migratory pattern there. And they had been in town, and so we drove. It was about, 3 hours. We cruised through, had good Mexican food, you know, all the things you do on a road trip.
Yep. And finally ended up almost in Kansas.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah, we were only about 20 miles away from the border.
Yeah.
Where we stayed. So we stayed in this little town called Lamar, Colorado, which is one of the hot spots. And they have a snow goose festival every February, which we had never heard of before.
No,
so
strange.
Go figure. We learn something new every day.
Yeah.
So we got there, and then you called up the Fish and Wildlife Department.
Yeah, I think it's Colorado Parks and Wildlife.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was their office
the
in
state.
Lamar. Really nice. But they told us we were basically screwed.
Yeah. So we had this really weird, warm day, like February 1st or 2nd of this year. It was freakishly warm. And then it immediately turned to snow and, you know, freakishly cold. But that one day, because I remember it was 72 degrees Fahrenheit in Colorado Springs, and I was walking around in a t-shirt just enjoying the sun on February 2nd or 1st. But out there, which is a lower elevation, it got all the way up to 80 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
So apparently that signaled the snow geese to move along.
Yeah. Time to head to Canada.
You know,
a little
so
bit prematurely. I
feel bad for them because it's still pretty cold out there in most of the North America. But anyway, so we missed them.
We saw some flying around.
We did. There were still some pretty huge flocks, you know, several hundred geese, but they were way out, nowhere we could get to.
Yeah. We tried.
We saw a bald eagle.
Several.
Couple of them.
Three, I think.
Yeah. This is the, we saw them, didn't necessarily have our gear to photograph them because it's from the car. Saw a roadrunner, which I thought was cool.
Mm-hmm.
A couple skunks that were even alive.
Yeah. I've never seen a roadrunner in Colorado, so that was interesting.
I mean, they are down in Texas, but I hadn't seen one in Colorado either, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
In fact, I looked at it, I'm like, I think that's a roadrunner.
Yeah, no, it definitely was.
The brain didn't really want to kick in on me there. So we had all this stuff packed up that we ended up pretty much not using, so... You know, we had
story
promised.
Story of our lives.
Yeah.
If you knew a bit more about our mini scouting attempts, they don't always work out.
It's okay. That's why you scout things, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, we were hoping to have a little more feedback on Nikon Z autofocus for you today. Well, we don't.
But I don't think what we said was wrong either. Just
oh, sure.
Yeah, within sure. the context of what we were talking about.
So what did we end up doing?
Well, we had fun still. One of the things that we did, this first part doesn't seem like fun, but it was interesting. there's actually, and it's something that very few people in Colorado know about. And there's a, but there's a former Japanese internment camp from World War II, much like the one out in California that's very famous, Manzanar.
Mm-hmm.
And there were others, but at any rate, there was one out there, and they're going through a process of turning it into a honest to God exhibit. And actually, right now, it's not bad, and I think where they will take it to will be very interesting and important. So we did that. We got some photos there.
We did,
and then we
and we were scouting the little wildlife areas at this. Yeah, you know, this was like sunrise.
We were doing both, kind of attempting to photograph birds while looking at other things. And then we continued heading further east towards Kansas. And like in a lot of rural towns across the U.S., you find parts of those towns that are very nice and parts that are getting old, and you get some of that urban or, I guess, rural decay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did some of that photography, which I always like doing.
I think
it's fun. And you were doing it with your phone, actually.
Yeah, it's, you know, I thought about it, and... You know, had it been really rich, and it was great, some of the things we found mm-hmm. were really cool. But there's a time, and I think this is one of those things where you think about it, where your phones have become really good as your pocket camera. And last fall, I believe both of us went out and got the new iPhone 11 Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that has three cameras on it. And I am so thrilled with this. I mean, the phones are always great, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they do their thing.
Yeah.
But the technology leap with the cameras has been tremendous. And one of the things that I really like about that iPhone 11 Pro with the three cameras is that it includes things like image stabilization on the telephoto mm-hmm. lens. But it adds that wide angle lens. And the wide-angle lens on this phone is equivalent of 13 millimeters in full-frame format.
Yeah.
Which is wider than anything that I own.
Yeah. You, in effect, end up with, you know, like a 13 to 50 millimeter equivalent, which is pretty amazing if you think about it.
Plus going digital in your pocket.
Zoom. Yeah.
You know, I
mean. Yeah, so you could go even further.
Right. It's crazy. And... what I was doing was just capturing those. Now, there's a couple of reasons why I'll use my phone. One is, you know, it's casual photography. I wasn't really thinking mm-hmm. of, you know, making fine art prints of this stuff. But there are some nice little things about it. One, of course, is that all my images in my phone automatically geotag.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go back through them when I'm on a scouting trip, I can use that to say, where the heck was I?
Yeah,
and with the DSLRs, you can do it, but it's a little bit more complicated. You know, you have to make sure things are set up a certain way, or you use a GPS, you know, device mm-hmm. that you plug into your camera. I think you had one actually.
Yeah, the Z7.
But you know, so there you are with your Z7. I'm shooting an iPhone 11. But with my iPhone, there's some really cool little features in there, and. First of all, they've really improved the built-in editor.
You know,
just the way you can process images, which mm-hmm. is kind of nice. And then I think both of us have, you know, if we had to recommend one phone app, regardless of whether you use an iPhone or an Android phone, you know, whatever you use, I think we would both immediately say Snapseed.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've recommended it to lots of friends who were just, you know, a little bit into photography, but not that seriously. Every single one of it loves it and has used it for years now.
Yeah, it's really... So Snapseed was originally developed by Nick Software
mm-hmm.
and then was purchased with Google by Google when Google purchased Nick Software. And it's free.
And it's excellent.
It's really good. And they've added some new tools to it. But I really like being able to use their like pseudo HDR feature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll talk about HDR
Is it the one that they call HDRscape
or something? Yeah. And sometimes it makes it just so crazy, but if you dial it back, you can get these really great stylized looks, which for the subjects we were photographing was excellent.
Right.
So you found this one little, we had to stop because there was this little building. It was a tiny little building. It couldn't have been more than like 40 feet on a side.
Not even that.
Yeah, probably 30, half of that. 30 by 30.
It was tiny.
Yeah, it was tiny. And standalone little thing.
It was a barber shop.
Yeah. And there was a stuff inside. The window was all dirty. But I put my phone right up against the window, which is something you can do with your phone that's harder with your SLR. Used that super wide lens. And it was pretty cool.
It was cool.
And then I grunged it up with some Snapseed. Yeah. But looking around those areas, looking for lines, looking for compositions, looking for interesting subjects, is fun.
Yeah. And sometimes going out with both a phone and a camera in the field and just doing some test shots with your phone first can really give you insights into what works and doesn't work. And a good example, you did a shot at that relocation camp that involved a guard tower.
Oh, right.
And you were, you know, using the 13 millimeter equivalent lens, which pulled in a lot of sky, and it looked really cool. I have to admit, I got a shot too after I saw yours, but it was something that wasn't all that obvious.
Right, because sometimes the lens, the perspective, it changes the way the scene looks.
Yeah, and also just way the tones are rendered, you know, all sorts of things. But at any rate, I think phones are great as almost like visual notebooks, recording where you might want to go later, and then just trying some ideas out and seeing how they look in a really simple manner before you pull all of your equipment out.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, there are times when your phone just really is your friend because you might be on vacation with the family and you frankly don't want to carry the camera just because it's, you know, for a lot of reasons. It's bigger, it's heavier, it's expensive, you don't want it to get it stolen. You know, let's think you're at the beach or something like that, whatever. Like, I'm going on a vacation with my son in spring break. I don't think I'm going to bring a Z.
Yeah,
because I don't want to deal with it, you know. And the newer phones are fairly water resistant, if not immersion proof for a little bit. So it's something to consider. And of course, then once it's in your phone, it's so easy to upload your photos or email them or text them or do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they're already there.
But I think we've not talked about the most important part.
Okay.
We realized we were incredibly close to Kansas.
And that's true.
And the town in Kansas right over the border was Goodland, Kansas, which you've ever seen the movie?
It's Coolidge, Kansas, right?
Oh, Coolidge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like Calvin.
You're right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I appreciate that. But
Goodland, Kansas is up on I-70.
It is. I've been to Goodland, Kansas.
Yeah. We were south.
Yes, we were south. But if you've seen the movie Vacation, that's where supposedly Cousin Eddie lived.
Yes.
Now, the trivia tip is that house that he lived in is actually outside Pueblo, Colorado, but it was supposed to be Coolidge. So we went there.
And it was fun.
And it turns out they've got a Cousin Eddie Visitor Center, which was closed.
Yeah. Oh, well.
We took a picture.
It was on a Sunday, all things. Was it?
It was Saturday.
That's right. It was on a Saturday. I don't know why it was closed. But there's a cafe there we didn't eat at.
It was probably because people were getting Goodland and Coolidge mixed up.
It happens.
Headed up north instead. Something like that.
Okay. Well, in the interest of...
we had fun.
We sure did. And it was cool. And, you know, we got some photos. It just wasn't of snow geese.
Yeah.
It's cool. Now, this idea of wandering around and looking for creative compositions and stuff like that is going to be something that we actually go into more when we have our workshop,
which we should talk about,
I guess,
and then
we'll
talk about the Lightroom stuff.
True, they all kind of fit together. So last week we mentioned that we were putting together a Nikon Z masterclass, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's going to be held here in Colorado Springs, Colorado,
which is a nice place.
It is. And we'll have it on the weekend of May 16th and 17th, 2020. In case you're listening to this in the future, it's already happened.
Too bad. You missed out. It was wonderful beyond belief.
So the focus of the workshop is going to be all of the stuff about the Nikon Z system, primarily focusing on the Z6 and Z7, right? Because mm-hmm. those cameras are identically, virtually the same.
But being an owner of a Z50 myself, I can tell you it's not very different. And while the class will be oriented toward the Z6 and 7, if you have a Z50 and have some background in Nikon stuff especially, or just general photography, you'll probably be fine with it. Mm-hmm. And I can always help during a break.
So given that, you know, who should think about attending this workshop? What kind of photographer?
Not brand new, but you don't have to be super experienced either. I think what we ask is you just have, you know, basic knowledge of aperture, shutter speeds, exposure. You know, what the exposure, what those do for you, and ideally some background with other digital cameras. And then I think you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and the focus of it really is to go, you know, into more than what you would get out of the manual, because anybody can read the manual.
And anyone can write books that copy most of the manual.
Yeah, that's true.
We're going to go further than that.
Right. So we're going to have a lot of topics. And so we've broken this class down. This workshop is going to be over the course of 2 days. The second day is optional, but we highly recommend it. So the first day will be purely a classroom session. And we'll go into, you know, the features and setting things up, you know, all the stuff about customizing. Right. Little tips and tricks that we have learned, you know, deep dive into the autofocus, the exposure, and all the stuff in terms of practical usage of the camera. You know, this isn't, and then you change to aperture priority by turning the dial to A. I mean, we're going to go more than that for sure. We have a whole list of topics out there, actually, some of which I can't even read. But, you know, there's some of the unique camera features, like, for example, multiple exposure, focus stacking. We're going to go through all of those with you hands-on. So you'll want to bring your camera to the workshop.
Absolutely.
Now, what are we doing on the second day?
Well, we're trying to get some yin and yang going on here. So the first day is all techie kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The second day is all about creativity, but using the things that you learned or refined, you know, on the first day. So okay. Our hope is that no matter what your experience level is, you'll come away knowing new things. I think we can almost guarantee that, because you and I find things all the time we share with each other, and they don't all make it into podcasts.
So on day two, we'll go out in the morning, and we're going to do a photo walk in the historic town of Manitou Springs, which mm-hmm. is just outside Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Ton of cool subjects, kitschy things and art and
Victorian era houses.
Yeah. But we're going to be there with you, so that when you have your settings and you want to have a question, Rick and I will be there to help you figure things out and make the necessary changes in your camera so that you're getting it right. And then we'll come back to the classroom. We'll do image review, and we'll have some creative processing ideas or creative collage and montage kinds of stuff set up for you to have a little take-home souvenir of your trip.
Yeah, and we're not going to pass out grades or anything like that. This will be for fun and learning, and you can have us look at your stuff and give you advice as much as you want or as little as you want. That's up to you.
So
but we're happy to do it.
Yeah. So look for the sign up online at our Facebook page, facebook.com/imagedoctors. It will be up shortly. Probably won't be out when you hear this podcast, but it'll be out within a few days.
Yeah.
So that's going to be exciting. Now, the last little thing is, and it ties in with this because we'll be actually teaching this in the workshop, is Lightroom's recent update to Adobe Lightroom Classic. They've really overhauled the way you can set up camera defaults.
Yeah.
And camera defaults were always kind of this hidden feature in Lightroom. You could change the settings based on, you know, a particular camera calibration profile and sharpening settings and doing that. And it's not hard to do, but it wasn't obvious.
No. And but it was something that we frequently recommended to people, mm-hmm. because in almost every case, they liked making some tweaks to that, maybe a little bit more sharpening or, you know, just a variety of
whatever,
things based
right.
on personal style. But the latest update really did change things. Now, let's back up just a little, because
okay.
this is important. When the Z's first came out, not later on, but when they first came out, their implementation in Lightroom and Adobe Camera Raw was completely different than any other camera or cameras that I'm aware of, and certainly than any Nikons. For the first time, if you did nothing with defaults, you would actually get the color profile or picture control setting
right.
applied. If you used auto delighting, something with highlight and shadow sliders and contrast sliders would get adjusted automatically. And even the sharpening and noise reduction settings would automatically get adjusted. I'm not sure that many people realize that happened. Some probably just went straight to creating their own defaults and never saw it. But if you saw something with a black, if you shot something in a black and white mode in the camera, it showed up as black and white.
Right, and that's different than every other camera.
Different than every other one.
Right.
Now, with the recent update, they've made it more sophisticated, because although that was kind of cool, it was a bit of an all-or-nothing proposition. You could either have all of that happening or kind of none of it.
Right.
And now you can actually have a blend, and you could just pull in the color profile and leave everything else automated, or have your own presets for portions of it. It's a little bit...
And that works on every camera.
That works on every
right.
camera.
Right. So there's an option now when you go into setting the defaults, and I think it's in the preferences of Lightroom. For
yes.
processing defaults,
yeah.
and the normal default is the traditional Adobe profile,
mm-hmm.
Adobe Color and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you can now pull that down to choose as the camera settings.
Mm-hmm.
And so for cameras that have things like picture controls, like Nikon cameras, Fuji cameras, that kind of thing, it will then pull that piece out, and the remaining settings would be just the normal Adobe defaults, or they would be whatever is pulled from the camera. So in the case of the Z's, it would include things like sharpening, like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can further append that by then adding a preset
mm-hmm.
of your own liking. So if you wanted to change, say, the sharpening settings, and that preset could contain all or some of the settings, and so some might come from the camera.
Yeah.
But in the Z's are a special case.
Yeah. And I would just say explore that a little bit. Are you still thinking about doing a little video on just the simple part of that process?
Yeah, I've been overdue.
Yeah, so there may be one coming out.
Put it on my YouTube
It's a
feed.
Little bit hard to describe
right.
in a podcast.
But it's really not hard to set up.
No.
It's really quite easy.
Now,
so go for it.
There's another thing.
Okay, just one more thing.
Just one more thing. That one other thing is there's a hidden feature that you're not going to find in any menus or anything like that. But you can actually create presets that are ISO dependent. So depending on what the ISO setting is, you can have it load different sharpening settings, different noise reduction settings to your own taste. Not someone else's taste, but your own.
But you can't do this in Lightroom itself. You have to hack it through a text
XML
editor.
Code.
Yeah, okay, so...
And I'm not a programmer, but
all right, Brainiac.
But I did get through it in several hours' time and got it to work correctly and everything. So...
Cool.
If you come to our class, we will be giving you copies of presets.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Bonus.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
that makes it so compelling. It's ridiculous.
So excellent. So if you've got questions about the workshop, you can feel free to drop us a note over at Facebook. That's the best way to get in touch with us, either through a message or just even a post to our page. Just find out. We'll have posts up there. We've already put one thread up there already, and so we've had some feedback and questions. But just to remind everybody, it's going to be March 16th and 17th.
Or May.
May. Yeah, March is too early. I won't be here. But May 16th and 17th in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Should be nice weather.
Usually, or yeah. blizzard. But
you know, it'll be good.
It should be great.
Yeah. And Manitou's nice.
It is very nice.
Yeah.
Sunny, usually.
Yep.
Okay. Well, with that, we want to thank you all again for listening. and send us your comments, feedback, questions, whatever. But until next time, happy shooting.
Bye-bye.